You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the G Family Performance Center in Edmond, Oklahoma, welcome to the first episode of Locked On Sooners at Night. I am your gracious and humble host, Eric G, saying thank you so much for making us a part of your day, and I do want to apologize for not having the show out by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's normally what I like to do, is record in the morning, put things together at work with the audio and all the bells and the whistles, and then publish at 3 o'clock. That didn't happen today, and quite frankly, the reason it didn't happen is because I just wasn't happy with the show, and I didn't want to put out a subpar product because you invest your time, whether it's 30 minutes, 20 minutes, however long the show is, you're giving me your time, so I want to give you my time and make sure that it's absolute quality and you walk away feeling like you got something out of the show or you laughed or felt entertained or whatever the situation is. So thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for listening to the other episodes, and please spread the word about Locked On Sooners as we continue to grow this podcast. Coming up in segment number one, we're going to talk about what it's going to take to get Levi Draper on the field for OU. And it really wouldn't take all that much. It would just take Mike Stoops believing enough to take a step forward with Caleb Kelly. But is he willing to do that? We'll let you hear some of Mike Stoops' audio on that. We'll talk about Addison Gums leaving in segment number one, and Parnell Motley will give us some insight into what it's like to be a defensive back with a brand new rule change and how much that's not only going to help him, but a lot of other defensive backs around the country. In segment number two, there's already a member of the national media who believes OU is better this year than they were last year after one game. I'm going to disagree with him. There's some very good reasons why I should disagree with him, but maybe you're not on my side. Maybe you are on this guy's side as to why he thinks OU right now is the number two team in the country behind Alabama. That's segment two. And segment three today, we wrap things up with a UCLA quarterback update. There is some news on Wilton Spate. And then I will give you four basketball games in the non-con. If you've ever traveled to see OU basketball, I believe that there are four games worth going to see in the non-con if you're willing to spend the money. The competition may not be that good. OU may not be that good, but they'd certainly be good cities worth going to, even during the time of year that they are playing. My name's Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game in Oklahoma City and News Radio 1000 KTOK. I co-host Saturday Game Day with Randy Renner. It's a 30-minute primer for college football, not only in Oklahoma, but throughout the Big 12. Randy handles OSU. I handle OU. We team together on the Big 12, and it's just a lot of fun doing that show. So if you have a chance to listen, it airs at 5 o'clock on News Radio 1000 KTOK on Saturday, then again at 9:30 on 1340 The Game, and at different times around the state, courtesy of the Oklahoma News Network. And because the folks at the Locked On Podcast Network like me to mention this stuff, I'm a credentialed member of the media. I've been covering OU for 4.5 years. I bleed crimson and cream and graduated from OU. So there you go. There's all my credentials that are right there. So you know, I at least think I know what I'm talking about. So let's talk about Levi Draper, who has an opportunity to be a major impact player for OU. At least during the spring game, that's the way it looked. And this is a kid who's overcoming a shoulder injury. This is a kid who was very highly recruited out of Collinsville here in Oklahoma, but he didn't see the field in the first game against Florida Atlantic. And people want to know why. It's like, well, where is Levi Draper? Why aren't we seeing him compete? I can tell you without a doubt, Mike Stoops is very happy with the play of Curtis Bolton at Will, and he does want to give Caleb Kelly reps at that position. And there's always going to be that suggestion that if Curtis Bolton is that good and Levi Draper are that good, then why don't you just move Caleb Kelly to outside, because Caleb Kelly's career hasn't been near what anyone thought it was going to be. Well, Mike Stoops was asked that in the media scrum earlier this week, and he sounded very hesitant to even make that move, and he gave us reasons why.
Yeah, it's something that we have to look at here, you know, probably after this game and see how that, you know, how our team's affected by having one of those guys on the sideline. That's something that always you always think about as coaches, trying to get your best 11. So that's something for us to, you know, really consider. And but it's going to hurt his overall development at the other position. So he needs a lot of reps at that position to get to where he wants to get to. So there's it's a tough call, and it's one that, you know, we'll certainly look at here in the next week or so.
I'm sorry, I guess my question was, in the spring, could you have moved Caleb positions if you didn't have Curtis to play that spot as well?
Well, there's always things that go into why we move a player, long-term effects of players, what they their ceilings at positions. So there's a lot that you look at. Who's going to be there? Are they going to be here? Are they going to be gone? You know, we certainly have to look at how that player affects each individual position and what we have at the other position. So our ability to play nickel has become more, you know, more of a part of what we're doing. So those are all things that you have to really look at.
I can understand where you're coming from if you're Mike Stoops. And I even get the political ramifications of how a move like this could affect team morale. But ultimately, what affects team morale is whether or not you're winning or losing. You move a kid down the depth chart, or you move him out of his comfort zone from one position to another, there might be some crowing for about a week, but ultimately everybody gets over that once you continue to win football games and start progressing towards another Big 12 championship. And when you prolong a situation like that for making that move, if something backfires, then people start to question you, they start to question the coaches around you, and wonder if you guys are the leaders that they need them to be. So if you're Mike Stoops, I wouldn't hesitate to make this move, because if you are happy with Curtis Bolton and Levi Draper is everything everybody makes him out to be, you might as well go ahead and give Caleb Kelly the opportunity to show his skills at outside linebacker, to see if during his junior year of football, which he's playing right now, there are NFL scouts that like what he's doing and will have a chance to latch on and maybe possibly draft Caleb Kelly. If not, he gets the opportunity to come back and play this position for another year and improve his draft stock that way. And while he may want to play will linebacker and be in the middle, it may not ultimately be best for your team, and you're doing your team a disservice if you don't make that move. It's all about the team. And I understand that in recruiting, there are promises made, and there's the whole idea that if you're an individual, you need to play for yourself, not necessarily your university, because they'll screw you over. But you've got to give your players an opportunity to win. And maybe you're not doing that by putting Caleb Kelly on the outside. I also talked with somebody who is close to the situation with Levi Draper, and he won't tell me exactly what's going on, but he does say that if the move is not made this week, okay, if Caleb Kelly is not moved from inside to outside this week, be on the lookout for Levi Draper in the weeks to come, even if Caleb Kelly stays at that will linebacker spot. It pretty much, from what I've been told, it's a matter of time. And I couldn't get any more out of this person on that situation, but hopefully, with everything Levi Draper's been through, he's going to have an opportunity to contribute to Oklahoma. Some surprising news yesterday at OU, and that's Addison Gums taking off, deciding to transfer. Read an article today. I read Jason Kersey in The Athletic. It wasn't just an article, it was Jason Kersey in The Athletic. And he quotes Lincoln Riley saying that it wasn't a messy situation that Addison Gums is leaving. But I don't understand this. Just from outside looking in, I don't get, if you're Addison Gums, why you would make this move, because you tweeted out that you'll be back. You worked very hard to get back. It was an unfortunate situation. And I don't see how necessarily you're losing your job, because you could possibly come back and play the next year. You could beat Caleb Kelly out for that position. They were relying on you, and Jalen Redmond is hurt as well, and nobody knows how well he's going to recover. It seemed like there was still opportunity at OU for Addison Gums to take advantage of, but he's choosing not to. He's choosing to go other places or take his talents elsewhere. And in that same article written by Jason Kersey, Lincoln Riley said that it seemed like the plan was for Addison to get his knee operated on, and then after that, he would work some things out with his family and go find a new place to live, and or not a new place to live, but a new place to play. And Addison Gums will still have 2 years of eligibility because he's a sophomore, so he'll have to sit out 1 year, and then he can play the year after that. But good luck to him. I hate to see him leave. Good luck to him. A guy that never has to worry about playing time is Parnell Motley, and Parnell Motley is very happy with one of the major changes in the rule book of college football, which is not being able to cut defensive backs.
Oh, man, I love it now. It gives me more awareness that they can't cut me now. They got to defend me on top, so it gives me more easy and more to get off the block or give him a move inside out to try to make a play. So that's good stuff that he changed the rules. So I better play on my half.
Did you know that was coming, or has it been emphasized in practice?
Oh, definitely. That's what I was saying. Like, these dudes, they had a presentation. Coach Links had a presentation all fall camp, and what the new rules are with cans and can don't. So good things, and great coaching on Coach Riley, and point the emphasis out on what we can do and cannot do this year. And it came back to bite them big time in the game.
Just something that make the levels of playing field, really? Is that how you look at it?
Yeah, this that's how I look exactly. I look at it. It's better feel for playing, and it's good it can't cut things like that. Better safety for the players and things like that.
Yeah, it's not just Parnell Motley that's going to benefit from this. It's defensive backs all around the country who are going to benefit from this new rule change that college football is making. And my first thought, normally I like to go third thought. Not first thought, but third thought. Unfortunately, I couldn't get to a third thought with this, but my first thought was, for everybody who moans and complains about football being tailor-made for the offense and all the rules are made for the offense, here's one for the defense. The other thing is, ask any football player, and no matter what the NFL or the NCAA does for concussions, because that's what we're worried about, they're much more concerned about their knees. Because the big fear is that you get hit in the knee gets damaged, you have to have surgery, you're not the same as it used to be, and you lose your athletic ability. Guys would much rather be hit in the head, have to sit out a few games with a concussion, because they feel with the concussion, they're still going to have the opportunity to come out and play. But if you lose your athletic ability, then there's no chance for you at all, and we're talking millions of dollars at stake there. So that's one of the other reasons why I'm sure Parnell Motley is very happy about that rule being changed in the NCAA, and I'm sure that's why a lot of other people are very happy about that rule being changed by the NCAA. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. Coming up next, what member of the national media thinks OU has a chance to win the national championship, or at least compete for it, or maybe just the number two team in the country? We'll tell you about that next.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
Be sure to listen to Locked On Thunder. We will be back tomorrow. Of course, if you're listening to this on Friday, we'll be back today with a brand new episode about 5 o'clock tonight or tomorrow night, again, depending on when you're listening to it, and we'll be discussing Maurice Cheeks being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame, and we'll get a chance to hear from him. So very excited for Maurice Cheeks, and really, I don't know how you even put that into words about being excited for somebody going into the Hall of Fame. That's not just you getting married. That's not a birthday celebration. There's something so awe-inspiring about a guy being honored that way that it's very hard to put into words. So I've got about 24 hours to put it together and see if I can't put it into words what it means to see Mo Cheeks get this honor bestowed on him. Also, listen to all the other Locked On podcasts at LockedOnSports.com and Google and Alexa and Stitcher and Spotify. We're all there. It's Locked On Sports. It's your team every day. Except during the offseason in the NBA, then we're allowed to do the podcast 3 days a week. I try and do it every day, but I had some issues with Locked On Sooners today and wanted to fully dedicate my time to that. But Locked On Thunder will be back out tomorrow. So Joel Klatt, he is your man. He believes that OU is already the number two team in the country, and he explained why on First Things First with Chris Carter and Nick Wright on Fox Sports 1.
This is going to be maybe the most controversial thing I've said maybe ever. Oklahoma might be better this year than last year, even without Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
And that's saying something because he was incredible. That defense that I saw on Saturday was as good as Oklahoma has played defense since the early 2000s. FAU was a top 10 scoring offense last year. They brought back a 1,900-yard rusher that rushed for the third most touchdowns in a single season in FBS history in Devin Singletary. And they went out there and throttled them. That defense was sensational. I thought Kyler Murray threw the ball really well. He's got a bigger complement of wide receivers around him than Mayfield did last year. The running backs are back. Rodney Anderson could make a run for the Heisman Trophy. 5 carries, 100 yards in that game. Oklahoma's for real. And just to show you how real they are, I put them at number two in my poll. I think they were a very clear number two after Clemson didn't play great against Furman. Oklahoma is the number two team in the country right behind Alabama in my eyes.
Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out more of the best clips from First Things First or go watch a few segments from our other shows on FS1.
There are some things I can get down with. I do believe that the receiving core, just by way of maturity, is better than it is last year. And it's only going to continue to get better. We still have yet to see how Drake Stoops is going to figure into the mix, but we know that Lee Morris is there. We know that Dede Westbrook will likely get more targets. We know that Grant Calcaterra can turn into that security blanket that Mark Andrews was for Baker Mayfield. You did lose Orlando Brown, and that's not to say that Cody Ford isn't doing a good job or even Bobby Evans isn't doing a good job. But that's an NFL offensive tackle that you lose. That those guys don't just fall off trees. I will say this. I do believe you get an upgrade at center the more that Creed Humphrey gets the opportunity to play, because I thought Eric Wren last year took a step back. And a lot of guys that I talked to, a lot of guys that played football, watch football, believe the same thing, that you just didn't see the same Eric Wren last year as you did the year before. And in some cases, it almost makes Jonathan Alvarez a little bit of an upgrade. And I know it sounds crazy to say that because Alvarez lost his job to Eric Wren, but I'm not convinced that OU has had an offensive lineman as smart as Jonathan Alvarez over the past 4 years that he's been on campus. This guy is extremely versatile, knows just about every position on the field and does a great job of getting them lined up. But I like the offensive line as a unit. Running backs, I really can't add anything more to that. Joel Klatt hit that on the head. But when it comes to the defense, and when we are talking about OU going from being Big 12 champions to potential national champions, the fact that you are talking about this defense, hold on, because it was Florida Atlantic. And throw out all the stats that you want, the caliber of athlete at Florida Atlantic, even those that went from FBS school, from Power 5 school to East Mississippi, and then to Florida Atlantic, and then you've got Chris Robinson. Look, players transfer for a reason. and everybody that OU plays from now until the end of the season, save for Army, should have better talent than Florida Atlantic. Okay, save for Kansas. Kansas probably doesn't have better talent than Florida Atlantic. But still, it's the majority of the teams. I think you get what I'm saying. So OU is eventually going to be tested. And I don't know how OU is going to react if West Virginia's defense was as good as advertised on Saturday against Tennessee. I don't know how OU is going to react if somehow Oklahoma State or Baylor or TCU, which I don't really think TCU is going to be a problem, but name me any other school in the Big 12 has a big day against them. We still got a lot to see out of this OU defense. And for somebody, and I'm meaning myself here, who was on the Mike Stoops bandwagon and want to see Mike Stoops get redemption, and then eventually what I'd like to see is Mike Stoops get redemption and then get the opportunity to go coach someplace else, because I think ultimately it would be best for OU and ultimately it would be best for Mike to get out of Norman, because I just feel like the last few years have been too tumultuous for him, that the best thing for Mike to do would be find a job someplace else. You still have to prove it. And right now, the caliber of athlete on defense looks better than it has in a very long time. These guys are playing with an edge to them that we haven't seen for a while. They were physically dominant in game number one, but it is just game number one. And much like the NBA season or NFL or whatever, Lincoln Riley said it best, as cliche as it was, these aren't the games that define you. The games that define you are those ones later in the season where you need to win, where a championship's on the line, you need to step up and win. And what we don't know yet is whether or not this defense is going to be able to make that leap. I like what I'm seeing so far, but I got to see it be more consistent. And there's just too many times in the past where we've seen one great game out of the OU defense to be followed up by three or four clunkers after that. So it has me a little nervous. And while we're on this topic and we're talking about the OU defense, I would also like to see a game this year. As much as it might pain everyone, I'd like to see a game where the defense bails the offense out and not the other way around. And there are some candidates for that game coming up a little bit later on the schedule. Maybe Texas's defense. You just have a bad day against Maryland. Maybe Texas plays really well against OU and the defense has to step up and just make play after play during that game because the offense never gets going. Kansas State might be one of those games. I don't think you're going to have to really worry about Oklahoma State. Maybe it is West Virginia. Maybe that defining game that I'm looking for the defense is West Virginia, where OU goes and shuts out or shuts down a really good offensive team, and OU's offense struggles all day long with West Virginia because their defense is as good as we think it's going to be, but ultimately OU comes out on top because the defense is able to make some plays, get a few turnovers, make a few stops. That's something I want to see before the end of this year, the defense bailing the offense out and ultimately being the reason that OU wins the game. The other thing I'd like to see this year is the Big 12 not play as crummy as they did in week one. I want to see West Virginia continue to do what they're doing. I would love to see Texas get back on track. I've got my questions about Oklahoma State, but then again, when is a year when we don't really have questions about the Big 12? What is the last, think back for a second, when's the last time you felt from top to bottom you thought the Big 12 was better than any of the other Power 5 conferences or was at least in the top two of the Power conferences? And I don't know that those days are ever coming again for the Big 12. Not as long as Kansas is in the dirge that it is in. Texas Tech is always going to have its challenges. It pretty much rests on the shoulders of Texas and OU, and hopefully TCU, OU, and Tech can kind of fight it out for that third spot every year and every once in a while have an opportunity to win a Big 12 championship. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up in segment number three, we have a UCLA quarterback update. We'll tell you what's going on with Wilton Spate.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast. Again, if you're a listener to Locked On Thunder, it'll be back tomorrow, and we'll hear from Mo Cheeks as he gets ready to be inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame. And I will find, between now and then, I will find the words to describe what it means for somebody to go into the Hall of Fame. I think it's a... I don't think that that's something that should be treated with just very flippant. We're going to have a few colorful, we're going to have a few rosy words and honor this guy. No, there's something to really be said for it. I'd also appreciate it if you would check out all the other Locked On podcasts at LockedOnSports.com, at Apple iTunes, Stitcher, at Spotify, Google, and just say, hey, Alexa. Or no, it's hey, Google, and then just say Alexa, and then... play the Locked On podcast that you want to hear. It's a great way to get information from local people who are covering the biggest stories and covering local teams. So we're wrapping things up today with an update on Wilton Spate, the quarterback for UCLA, and he has been practicing this week. He was actually throwing the ball on Wednesday, but it's still not known if he's going to be back in time to start against Oklahoma. And then it's down to Dorian Thompson-Robinson or Devin Modster. Which one of these two guys are going to start? Most UCLA fans will probably think that it's going to be Devin Modster because this guy's a sophomore. He's the future of the UCLA program. But Dorian Thompson-Robinson is the guy that got to go in for UCLA in that game against Cincinnati. Still up in the air, which makes it very difficult for this OU defense to prepare for the second straight week. And there's not enough film on any of these guys to really get any of their tendencies. And as Mike Stoops said, when it's a case like that, you've just got to work on what you do. And as good of a test as it's going to be, you see this offense every day, or at least a reasonable facsimile of it, when you're going against the OU offense. So you have a good idea of how things are probably going to play out. There are a few little nuances, some tweaks here and there that UCLA will do different. But then again, if I'm OU, I'm not really expecting UCLA to throw the ball a whole hell of a lot based on what I've seen on film. And I don't know if that's because Chip Kelly just doesn't trust his quarterbacks. And that's a big question. Whoever plays quarterback this week, when UCLA ran the ball as much as they did last week against Cincinnati, and if you missed yesterday's podcast, it's 89%. So that whole week one to week two, making the most improvements, how much improvements did UCLA, how much were they able to make in that short amount of time? And more importantly, does Chip Kelly have a guy who can run the offense that he feels comfortable putting it in their hands? That I'm wanting to see. I'm not even sure that, you know, now that I think about it and I sit here and talk about this a little bit more, I'm not sure how much you learned from watching last week's film with UCLA other than they didn't throw the ball. And if things are clicking a lot more at practice this week because they were able to get a little bit more grasp of the offense, maybe they do throw it around. I would, however, think you've had all spring, you've had the fall to work things out, and if you're still not throwing in week one, that tells me you still don't get what's going on with this new offense, and either you don't believe in it or you're just not the type of guy that Chip Kelly needs. Finally, we wrap things up today. Well, I'm saying that now for the second time, but OU's 18-19 men's basketball schedule came out for this season. Yeah, that's what I said, 2018-2019. comes out for this season. And some road trips that would be worth making. Well, number one on the list would be the trip to Atlantis, because there's nothing like going to a beach resort. And you can see OU play Florida and then maybe Stanford or Wisconsin. But if beaches aren't your thing, and you're a guy like me and love New York in December, the opportunity to go to New York around Christmas time, OU does play Notre Dame in Madison Square Garden on December the 4th. That is a game I would like to go to. Talk about fandom having an opportunity. I've always wanted to see a college basketball game in MSG, and I'm still enough of a Knicks fan that just being in that arena would be a thrill for me. And I don't know if you feel the same way, and I don't know how good Notre Dame's going to be coming into this year, and OU certainly got their question marks, but that would be a good one. You've got the Southern Cal game, which will be in Tulsa, so it's really not that far to travel to go see OU at the BOK Center. And then Friday, December the 21st, Northwestern in Evanston, Illinois. And yes, Chicago is very cold this time of year, but another one of those trips. Chicago, Christmas, it's cold, but it's still the city of Chicago. So go have some great pizza, maybe get the opportunity to enjoy a Bears game while you're there, stay for the week, but certainly some attractive games on the non-con. And then January 2nd and January 5th are the first two Big 12 games, and OU plays at Lawrence and then plays Oklahoma State in Norman. So there's the look at the early look at the basketball schedule. I'm Eric G saying thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Locked On Sooners at Night. We will be back with another episode tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have another update on the UCLA quarterback, and maybe we'll have something more defined before Saturday. I'm not holding my breath, but we can certainly get excited about that. And we'll talk about what OU has to do in order to win this game, which I think we all know what they have to do. We'll discuss it anyway, and I'll put a new spin on it. That's coming up tomorrow on Locked On Sooners. And until then, everybody love everybody. May God bless you and your family, and peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.